Hello, After Buzzers. Welcome to the 100 After Show. Today, we're going to be talking about Season 5, Episode 3, Sleeping Giants. We're going to be talking about dropships, prison ships, and relationships. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's love got to do?
Guys, this was such a good choice for opening. I'm so glad we went this direction.
I love how your shoulders just get a little
We got the lights. After Buzz, After Dark right now. It's the best.
Red light special.
It's always time
love
for
it.
Tina.
Love it. Hello, you guys. Welcome to the 100 After Show. We are back for the second week that we're covering Season 5. As always, I'm your host, Taylor Gates, and I have a lovely panel of ladies with me tonight.
Oh, thank you. Funny Sarai.
Cherry.
Awesome, awesome. All right, and as always, guys, just get excited for our special segment, Boss Move of the Week, and we have some really, really exciting news about the 100 to announce for you guys later as well. So get excited for that.
Drum roll, please.
But just diving right in, what did you guys think overall about this episode?
I loved it. I loved it. A lot of twists and surprises. I thought it would take longer for them to go to the ground, but they went straight to the ground, and I was like, okay, hey, we're getting into it. We're mixing it up so soon. I didn't expect that right off, but it was good. I liked it.
I really like getting to know the ship people and knowing that they really are not nice people, and I don't think we're going to be able to, like, groove with them.
Yeah. What I think is exciting about that group, though, is they do have, like, a difference of, like, personalities. Like, they're not all, like, our Colonel of Ivana. I think we decided what her name was. She's a little cray-cray, but there's some sweeter people in the mix, too, to kind of balance her out, which is really nice. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about Clark more, you know, specifically. So this episode starts out with Clark and Maddie, like, going real boss, real fast.
As always.
As
Clark.
Always.
That's very Clark-like.
They basically have impaled this guy on, like, a wooden pole, I think, somehow. Is it a bear trap? Is that what we decided?
No, it's like an old fashion crusades trap where, like, when you step on something, it gets you. Clark is always wanting to start something with somebody, and usually she wins, but this time she ran against the big dogs, and woof, woof.
Woof, woof. They're coming
but
for
she's,
her.
She's a survivor, though. Clark, I mean, that's the only way she knows how to play. It's to win. There's no second place with Clark.
Yeah.
She's either going to beat you, or you're, like, you're dead, or, you know, that's pretty much it.
No, the only way she knows how to play is, like, to shoot and kill people. And it's like, shoot to kill. It's like, dude, could you try in diplomacy? She's like, no. I'm going to pretend to get along with you, but then I'm going to stab you in the back.
Yeah, that's the Clark Griffith way,
that's
guys.
Clark.
And so we have Maddie challenging her a little bit at first. She's like, I don't know that this is right, man. Like, I don't know. What did you guys think of that kind of other perspective and Maddie kind of offering that point of view?
I think it's great. I think there's always a need for checks and balances. Mm-hmm. You just don't want Clark, like you were saying earlier, you don't want Clark to just go full Clark. Yeah. You need someone to say, humanity is important.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the more lives, more people alive, you know, maybe we can help each other more than destroy each other. You know, so I like that there's a checks and balance. If they both were just like a little mini Clark and she was ready to kill too, I would be a little concerned, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I mean, but she did raise her, but she didn't raise her from a baby. So I think whatever people she was with before weren't, like, super crazy aggressive. They look like they're kind of hippy-dippy and chill in their little, like, peaceful area, like little garden elves or something that chillin'. And I think Clark has to remember the people in the bunker were still not sure if they'll be able to get them out. So if she wants to get a little lovin' before he knew her boy was coming back, she really should have been like, hey, what's up?
No.
So you're thinking about her sex life.
That is one of the topics. Relationships, we'll bring it in. It's going to be great.
It's important. Maybe they'll take the edge off.
Clark always has either a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Clark is rarely alone.
Guys, who can resist Clark, though? Like, if you look at her, like, of course she does. She's
girl
like,
crust much, you know?
Of course. Oh, my gosh. Everyone on the show, I'm like, they're just so powerful and, like, strong and smart. And
I agree.
I love it. I love the way everyone is written on the show, especially the female characters. We talk about that all the time. But
girl power to the extreme.
Definitely.
So many women in charge, and not passively in charge, just straight up, you will obey me.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm like, dang, girl, yes. Yes.
Yeah, and with the experience, not just, oh, maybe they're not meek. They have experience, like the Colonel. I mean, I'm sure you're going to get into that. Yep. But yeah, I like it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So we have Clark and Maddie setting this guy up on this little crusade trap. And I'm like, okay, sweet. They have the upper hand. Not necessarily the case. The prisoner ship people, what are we calling them? It's like the Allegis Four ship, but that sounds like a hard word.
Sky People Remix? Well,
Sky People Remix, I
you like.
You
like that? That's cool. That's cool.
Sky People Remix. You know? Prisoner ship.
Sounds like a
prisoner
bad drink.
Yeah. I don't think they get like a name. Like, you know how we had like the crews, like one crew, Sky Crew. I want them to like be a certain crew. Prison crew.
We should ask our chat people.
Yeah.
Xavier Jones Jr., Debbie Broussard.
What you got, guys?
Caroline, Damien. What do you guys think we should be calling the Sky People?
I need a succinct, concise name for them if we're going to discuss them. Help. But anyway, prisoner crew has these crazy big weapons, and they're like, we're not going to just be led into this trap. We're not about to play this game. Mm-hmm. And so they fire that weapon off, and it gets Clark pretty hurt. And so she and Maddie decide to go away, and she tells Maddie to hide while she decides to go kind of lead them away, or attempt to, at least. Yeah. I thought it was so sweet how she interacts with Maddie.
Yeah.
I love seeing this kind of other side of Clark and her really having to kind of, I mean, she had to grow up really fast before this, but having, you know, someone to take care of, like, a younger person has just been really fun to see so far.
Yeah. I love how before she leaves her, she's like, I love you. So, like, it's still love in Clark's heart. It's not just all murder and kill and destruction, you know? She's mentoring this young girl, and she wants to make sure she tells her, I don't know if it's a daughter, a little sister to her, like a little play, maybe a play daughter, but she wants to make sure she let her know, I love you, you know?
So
I thought it was so cute.
Clark always has to have somebody to love. But I'm looking at the people in our chat, and they're saying, Xavier Jones Jr. says, Sky Peeps.
Oh. Sky Peeps.
And Sylvia B. says, Murder Peeps.
Murder Peeps. Yes. Sky like Murder that. Peeps pretty much says it all if we combine those two.
And Renji 99
I love that
Deathskier?
Deathskier.
Oh, Deathskier.
I like that.
Yes, these are all really good suggestions. Yes, you guys are so creative. Love that. So anyway, we have Clark trying to lead the people away. Unfortunately, this leads to Clark getting captured.
Of course.
And she refuses to answer like any of their questions. Why do you guys think she decided to stay silent for so long?
I think it's basically what the other person were observing, that she was playing strategy.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't want them to know that she knew the language. They will feel more comfortable to speak in front of her, and then she would have more of an advantage.
Yeah.
Or if they thought maybe she was mute or something, maybe it seemed more of a weakness. But to just go up there and just blabber off? No.
No. Yeah, totally I agree with you. I think she thought she was being slick, but her eyes kept giving her away.
Yeah, so that was totally off. She kept looking and
she's not a spy. She isn't trained. But did Clark ever really have to be trained as a spy? That wasn't her main goal.
Right.
Her main goal is to kill people.
Right. I was a little bit surprised that she did stay silent, though, especially when they were asking, you know, is there anyone with you? Like, are you alone? I thought for sure she was going to lie and be like, yeah, I'm the only one down here. Like, there's nobody else. So I was like, I don't know, that surprised me a little bit. But now that you guys are saying that, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. I was like, just lie. Just say that Maddie's not a thing. Like, no one can see her.
Yeah,
like,
but if they would have found her like they did, they would have lost the trust. They would have lost the trust. So.
That's
and
very
it's
true.
It's better to not say that there's anyone at all, because then they might have found Maddie, but then they'd think, oh, well, there's more people. And they'd keep looking and would use her as a bargaining chip. Because once they think they have everybody, then they may not keep them alive once they outlive their usefulness.
Yeah, I think I would have said the opposite. I think I would have said there's tons of us. Yeah. Like, you know, let us go because we're surrounding you right now and we're about to blow you up.
Yeah, like, there's like one person.
Yeah, I would have played 300 on them. You know, like I have 300 other people out here and we are about to get you.
Yeah.
You know, let me go.
Technically, they have like 1,200 in the bunker, but I mean, they can't really get to them.
Now.
Not it's probably like 12 now. Yeah. But
all those pit fires.
We
huh?
started with 1,200 down there.
Yeah.
But we also learn more about the prisoner group. Ivana, I think we figured out, like we said, was the dictator type colonel lady's name.
What's her name, guys? I don't know.
I don't know, guys. And then we have Shaw, who's sort of the good cop in the situation. I'm wondering what those two, like, what their relationship is. Do you guys have any clue?
I think he was in the military, and I think he was a Marine at first. Because I thought she said something about, they said something sarcastically, like, well, now you're a fly boy or a ship fly or whatever. You're wussed out. I think he was definitely part of the prisoners. Mm-hmm. Or he might have been just on the ship working, and they let him live because they needed someone who knew how to fly the ship.
Interesting.
Or do some basic repairs.
Mm-hmm. And someone had to release these. Release them at least. Mm-hmm. If they're part of the 300 that are sleeping, someone has to at least let go of the, what, about 15 of them, I think, right now is on the ground?
Yes.
Or so?
And it seems like probably since they're all still the original people who were put in the cryogenics, I suspect that they had a system where some people would go to sleep, then they'd wake up. So they're slowly aged. Because they all still remember Earth before the war, as Clark was telling them. It wasn't started by the Chinese. It was started by AI.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I was just curious because it seems like their personalities are so different. And she's so harsh on everyone else. But for some reason, she's like, no, he's one of us. Like, don't hurt him. Even though he's basically going against everything that she's saying. I'm like, what makes this guy so special? Like, were they dating? Like, are they related? I don't know. I just am really curious to see kind of their history, because I feel like there has to be something there.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a brother or something.
Yeah.
Or some type of twist. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's too young to be uncle or something, but he's maybe related to her. Like you said, maybe they dated. Because I think Shaw made the comment saying that, you know, now you made McQuarrie your right hand, like, as opposed to what he used to be. You know, he seems like he's such a loose cannon that he had a position where he didn't have power because he would just kill everyone.
Yeah.
So now that he's her right hand, I wonder what happened, how did he get there, and where did he start from, pretty much.
Oh, I just want to know so much more about that.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit more because we have the comment that they, like, somehow escaped a fascist government. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious to see what that was all about, too. I don't really have any theories yet, but I hope we get, like, flashbacks. I always love the episodes where we kind of go back and, like, see what life was like on the Ark. Like, I know we got some of those last season, so I think it'd be cool to see these guys, like, on Earth, like, hundreds of years ago.
What a period piece, right? With the outfits and everything.
Well, I'm almost thinking the AI had started, you know, the process of taking over Earth. So what they thought was a fascist government was really the AI implanting that chip thing into certain people. And since they were soldiers, maybe they weren't anywhere that she would have had access to when they came down. It was like, why is the countries all merged together? Why'd they kill my people? I don't understand what's going on. And, you know, when they were last season, when they were trying to interact with people, they didn't know who they were because they were all one group mind. Oh, so I'm wondering if that's what happened.
That's really interesting. I didn't think that deep.
Yeah.
That's why she's on the panel.
There you go.
I watch the show over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love watching it over and over again. Ooh, Xavier has a prediction, or should I say a theory, that in a couple of episodes with Prisoners versus Clark and Space Crew.
Space Crew.
Wink, wink.
Until they come to an agreement, Clark then works with them to open the bunker to find that they are now the villains. Dun, dun, dun.
Like I said, guys, full circle.
I
did
not want them to be villains.
It's just so full circle.
My wet queen is my wet queen.
Love one crew. Hopefully we'll see them next episode. But let's just keep...
Sorry, one more thing about that. Like, since they have American accents, they are from America. They don't have a British accent or any other type of place. So I'm assuming whatever this fascist government is either to do with America, or that makes more sense, like the AI. So
the AI, like, everyone spoke the way she did, which was no accent per se, no real accent. And supposedly in the future, maybe we're all one world and everyone's learning from a computer chip. And so you don't have a discernible accent.
Yeah. I would just, I hope that we figure out more about how they kind of fit into, like, the world and the history and kind of the timeline. But kind of veering back into Clark and Shaw a little bit, we learn a little bit more about him. He kind of starts telling Clark his life story a little bit. about how he used to be like a biker in Detroit, which interesting. Wonder how that's gonna affect things.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about that? Their scene together? Did you see any like hints of like maybe a friendship or a relationship starting between those two, or do you think it was purely like he felt bad for her? Like, how did you guys read that scene?
I thought that was interesting. He truly doesn't have his first instinct to be violent, but instead to use diplomacy and talk and figure out what's going on. And I think that was how he was trying to not exactly interrogate Clark, but to find out exactly what was going on and learn to small sense of security, because he was going to tell the colonel, you know.
Yeah.
What he learned.
Yeah, I think since the beginning, he's been Team Clark. Yeah. Soon as he saw that blonde hair, those little eyes blinking, he was like, we have to save her. You know what I mean? And I think partly he was coming out to her and telling the story was to make her feel comfortable to save her life, like to build trust with him. So like, if I do tell you, Clark, you know, to do something or move a certain way, it's really to help save your life. Like, you need to trust me so we can help you make it past a day or two with McQuarrie around and Ivana. You know, basically that's what I think. And also, everyone falls for Clark, so it might have been a little romantic too, you know. Both things, I think.
Yeah. I'm anxious to see where that goes. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously Shaw's giving Clark some great advice. Who else can give us some great advice here on Earth?
Want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was you, it was us who sent you there. The team of the 100.
Yeah.
Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
Awesome.
Oh, I've subscribed. I love listening to her advice every week, as well as the guests. Mm-hmm. It really makes you think and look at things in a new way, especially since I'm trying to figure out my career new direction.
Yes. Aren't we all in LA? Like, aren't we all just trying to reinvent ourselves?
Yes, she's wonderful. Definitely check that out. And also subscribe to our like AfterBuzz TV dramas page, or sci-fi page, I think is what we're on. So you can see all of our shows. Rate us on iTunes, 4 stars, 5 stars. All the other ones don't work. It has to be a 4 or 5 star rating.
Yeah. Only if you like it. If you don't like it. Just text
that's
your friend.
That's not true. You have to like it. And then leave us a nice comment, because we love hearing your thoughts.
Yeah.
And so responding. Anyway, let's go. Let's just jump right back in. So we get that little second of like nice conversation with Shaw and Clark. And then it all goes downhill pretty fast, because we find out that they have located Maddie. And Ivana just doesn't care and is like, yo, we're going to shoot to kill now. Yikes, that was just terrifying. But Clark figures out that Maddie is leading them into a trap. Did you guys think that she was, like, pulling their leg a little bit? Oh, or did she think that she was being for real?
I thought it was just a setup. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just doing that to save Maddie's life. But come to find out, it really was a bear trap. So I was like, okay, good for you, Clark. She, like, know the woods pretty well, pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
Maddie's all about the traps. That's how she got Clark in the first time. And they're by themselves, even though they don't really expect any other people to come by. But Clark is so paranoid. She feels if someone does come into their little oasis, kill them all. I'm not even going to ask them nothing. Kill them. It's like, dang, girl, please roll it back.
Yeah.
I love how that's what got her to finally talk to. Like, just going back to how much I love the relationship, I was like, of course, when Maddie's in danger, like, you're just gonna... Because she's not even, like, thinking about her, you know, strategy anymore. It's, like, pure mama bear instinct, which I thought was, like, so cute.
Yeah.
So, yes, we figure out that there was indeed going to be a trap, and this kind of gets Ivana and Clark to actually start communicating a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Ivana's finally like, all right, if you start telling me the truth, like, we're all going to figure out a solution, and it's going to be great. And so Clark starts telling her about all the times the world has ended, because there's been more than one at this point, which I thought was like actually pretty funny. She's like, tell me about when the world ended. And she's like, which time?
Yeah. Clark has the best lines, you know.
Which I thought
which
was.
Which one do you mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Oh, so yeah. Sassy. And like, just if you can see how far we've truly come in this show when we have lines like that,
yeah,
which I thought was pretty funny. And then, so she starts telling her the truth. And then let's take a short break from this story and let's talk about how our ship of people are not prison ship people, but our crew of people. So we have like Raven and Monty and, mm-hmm. you know, all of those people are in the air and they see the Allegis IV is what the prison ship is called. And they're trying to figure out what it is. They're trying to figure out, is it like a mining ship? Did you guys understand what they're talking about when they said like mining ship?
Yes.
Yeah, I took it as mining.
Yeah. Mining in the space rocks and things.
Okay.
Yeah, and since it was such a unsafe job, mm-hmm. they sent the prisoners and murderers up there.
Right.
It's like, all right, we'll give you another second chance. You know, it's kind of like
just hunt these rocks.
The prisoners you see like on the side of the road picking up the trash.
Yeah, my gosh, I didn't even make that connection, but they're so clever.
Yeah.
I think it was to more like kill them than give them a second chance. The assumption being that they wouldn't come back again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they had that line again, like just talking about how many, you know, parallels there are, like mm-hmm. from the beginning of the show to now. It's like, oh, well, that sounds familiar because they sent all of the prisoners to do the dangerous mission just like they sent the 100 down from the Ark to discover if the ground was inhabitable. Mm-hmm. I just love how everything is just reflecting on each other. I know I mentioned that a lot, but I just think it's really cool writing.
It's a lot of repetition. And then even the fact that once they're in the bunker, then there's the whole idea of, do we have more people than supplies?
Yep.
When they were on the ship, do we have more people than supplies? You know, I'm sure the prisoners at some point went through the same thing, you know, coming out of cryogenics. So the same themes just kind of like cycled. So
many.
That's why there was so many people sleeping, you know, there wasn't enough food for everyone, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. So anyway, we have the Allegis IV, and they are kind of a little bit worried that there might still be people living on it. And finally, Raven's like, listen, there are never going to be people on that, or else they would have shot our ship down already. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty reasonable explanation. So they decide to dock their ship inside it to look for more fuel so they can make it to the ground, which is all fine and good. Except for they stumble upon this big room full of frozen people. The Kodiak. What was your guys' reaction to that?
Popsicle time.
What a crazy...
I was run. run as fast as you can.
What a reveal. Like, just even the way they shot that. Just all of these, like, frozen people. I thought that was so cool.
That was really cool. Monty's first instinct was... I could tell he wanted to wake them up, to bring more humanity down. His assumption being that they were good, kind people, because Monty's, you know, basically a decent, nice guy.
Yeah.
And then, surprise, let's look through the manifest. Murder. Fire by murder. Murder. Oh,
yeah.
Don't wake them up.
I thought it was fun to see Bellamy, especially flipping through all of the profiles. I was like, ooh, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Like, where are the, you know, where are the good guys?
But haven't Bellamy, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't he killed? He's killed himself.
Oh, yeah. They've all killed.
I feel like all of them, if they read their manifest,
that's a good
they'd be
point.
Like, murder, you know, kill, the same thing.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what kind of murder you do. If you're a serial killer, you're defending yourself. You know, I totally get that. Sort of like how John was like, kill them. If Clark was here, she'd have killed him already.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, you know what?
Murphy.
He was so...
Don't agree with you usually, but on this one,
You wanted them to kill him. All the people.
Yeah, I don't think... It's not like they were the descendants or had counseling to become better, less violent, horrible people. When they wake up, they're still going to be... kill team. So I don't know. Another 300 people, especially with everybody else in the bunker. Mm-hmm. Despite what Clark seemed to think, there's 30 people come down that ship, but you know what? I can take them. It's like, no, girl, you can't. No, not by yourself. No.
Clark is on opioids. I don't know.
She's on something. Yeah, she's like the She-Hulk. You won't like me when I'm angry. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, girl.
Well, they have this debate about whether they should just kill them all right now, if they should wait a little bit, you know, if they should wake them up. It's like a very like, nothing's ever simple. Like, no one ever just agrees on anything in true The Hundred fashion. And finally, they agree to make it so they're able to kill them remotely from the ground, but use it as leverage, which I was like, awesome, because we thought we had option A, option B, but they're like, now we're going to throw an option C in there, which, who thought of that idea again? Was it Raven?
I believe so. I'm not sure, actually.
It was...
No, it was Bellamy. It was Bellamy.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. And Derek Hogan says, Bellamy started the series by shooting Jaha and helped Pike kill 300 grounders. So...
Yeah.
Bellamy.
Bellamy's I mean, he's had his moments too.
He was really bad. He was horrible.
Him and Murphy. I still don't understand why Murphy's still around. Murphy should have been killed. Okay. Oh, wait.
You don't like Murphy?
He's such a horrible person.
But he is Craven is what he is.
Yeah, he brings...
Craven as in most people will do the right thing if it's not inconvenient.
Mm.
Murphy will do the wrong thing even when it's inconvenient, even when he doesn't have to. He's always like, screw all of you.
Yeah.
Fits you. I think he truly does not like people. I think being up on the ship and the way he was treated makes him one of those, not even a curmudgeon. He truly does not like other people. I mean, every once in a while he'll have like one or two people he likes and tolerates. Then they break his heart and then he gets mad again. Mm-hmm. He has no chill.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Murphy's thing as he is just kind of selfish. Like, he always is looking out for number one, and the number one is him, of course. But yeah, I think it's interesting. But he does say a lot of the times what everyone else is like thinking or like would probably do in that situation, yeah. I feel like. Like, he's not looking out for the good of people. He's looking out for the good of himself. And I'm like, I get that. Like, I do. I get that.
And his one person. But he'll leave you. And even his friends, he'll leave.
Yeah.
Like, he'll straight up leave them. Let's go. Yeah. But what about it?
We're going to make a breakaway.
None.
Zero loyalty.
None.
I don't think Murphy likes Murphy, to be honest. I think he looks in the mirror and be like, I should kill you one day. Like, I mean, he doesn't like himself. You know what I mean? It's hard to make someone like you when they don't even like themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's very prickly and he has issues. Mm-hmm. And most people have a common little kernel of decency, no matter how bad they are. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have that kernel of decency. Instead, he's very self-preservation. And that's pretty much his... motivation for everything.
Yeah, well, let's continue to talk about him a little bit, especially kind of through the lens of his relationship with Amori, because for a while there they were going really strong, and I don't know, like we touched on last week, we kind of thought that they were making each other better people, but it seems like that relationship is still going pretty south. Yeah. At least, you know, in the beginning middle of this episode, they're still fighting, they're still making really snide comments towards each other. I don't know. What did you guys kind of think about that?
She's grown. I mean, she also is one of those people who, because she was a grounder, was like pretty much tribeless, was by herself. Mm-hmm. She had to be self-sufficient. She had to think about only herself. But once she got in a place where she was safe, where she had food, where she didn't have to constantly worry about being raped and murdered and raped, her dead body. Mm-hmm. She said, I want to contribute. I want to be part of this team, this family. And he's very much like, nah, y'all can come this close, but no closer.
Yeah.
I mean, she changed and he resented her wanting to be a part of the team. And she was angry with him for being a useless twat.
Yeah.
Twit.
Whoa.
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel. Like, you know,
I didn't like him, you know, like, if I was in that time period, since I have no fighting skills or anything, I'd probably be like a Craven coward myself, skulking around trying to avoid being killed. But he just never, ever, ever really does anything nice. And when he does do something nice, the motivation is, you owe me.
Yeah.
You're going to pay me back.
Yeah.
Which is interesting of why he stayed on the ship. You know, maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
He thought that there was a drop ship.
Well, let's get into that after we kind of establish what exactly happened there, because I don't want to like completely gloss over anything. But so we have this idea that, okay, they're going to use the fuel from the other ship to get down, but someone has to stay in order to like look at the ground and make sure everything goes right with like the cryogenic type things.
Wow, that's the technical term. The technical cryogenic type things. Like, that's our...
Guys, there's a lot of hard language in this. Like, I'm doing my very best.
You did a great job.
Thank you so much. So they decide that, and, like, Raven's like, it has to be me, because she's really is the only one who kind of knows how all of this works, including myself, don't quite understand how all of it works. But Raven's, like, a boss and a genius, and she gets it all. And so Bellamy offers to stay up there because he doesn't want to leave someone else behind like he did Clark. And she's like, no, it's going to take way too long to teach you. You would also probably screw it up.
Yeah.
We're not going that route. So she decides to stay up there, which I thought was so selfless and so Raven-like. Did you guys think that was pretty in character for her, too?
Of course. Everyone wants to be a hero. And to be a hero, you have to save someone.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? They're like, I'll die for the humanity. You know what I mean? They're just quick to die or want to die. You know what I mean? But I don't know if you guys thought about this. But when she stayed, right? So I didn't understand why she was staying. If there wasn't another escape pod, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the danger? They can't come back to Earth. Like, what is she doing?
Well, because
they can go back up to the ship, though.
They can go up.
Yeah. And then wake them up and then bring them back down again.
I guess that's true.
It's something about having to watch the ground and, like, making sure everything goes right. I didn't quite get the specifics.
What it was... They know that there's X amount of the people down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're hunting someone. They realize it's one of their people, either Clark or people from the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide to do mutual mass destruction.
Okay.
Namely saying, if you kill me, we'll kill everybody up on the ship. Now the downplay with that is, are you sure they care about the people they left in the cryogenic chambers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then... I just have to say, they don't deserve Raven. She is a saint.
She's pure.
She is so good. She's always like, she's always at 1,000. Everyone else is at like 200. And she's like, no, let's go that extra mile.
And she's suffered so much throughout the show too. So the fact that she's still so selfless and like willing to sacrifice, it's just so...
She's walking beautiful. Better.
She's walking, but she still has that thing on her foot.
Yeah.
But she is working out. And... I think there might have been a little bit of spark between the two. They are on the ship. There's nothing else to do.
Guys, that's a recipe for things right there. It's just like getting people in small spaces where they can't go anywhere.
And then love happens. And guess what? You can't cheat on her. Unless he brings someone out of cryogenics. You know what I mean? Whatever his flavor is.
Oh my gosh. He's going to be crazy.
When you're the last man on Earth.
So
I honestly wouldn't be that surprised if that happened.
She's attractive. She hasn't been with anyone in so darn long.
Yeah.
Raven is very attractive.
She's very attractive. Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's amazing. Love her.
She's so cool.
So anyway, yes, she stays. John decides that he's going to stay too, which, what did you guys think? Like, why do you think he decided that?
He was mad at the little ship girl still.
You think so?
Yeah. His little crack. Well, we'll be safer up here in the other drop ship.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
I don't know. Part of me wants to, like, refute that and be like, maybe... He really does want to give her space. Like, maybe he is doing it, like, kind of self-destructively, and he doesn't actually... I don't know. That's kind of what I think. I think that he really does still love her.
He also thought the drop ship might... He wasn't sure if she'd be able to land it. Because she hadn't landed a ship before.
Yeah.
She still knew. And she didn't really want Raven to stay on the ship. She wanted Raven to be beside her.
Yeah.
To help her pilot. So she needed a little bit of reassurance. So of course, John being John...
Part of me,
they're gonna crash.
Yeah, because I mean, last week we had Jaha kind of, R.I.P. Jaha, by the way, kind of motivating Octavia by his speech, like talking about her mom being a criminal. So I was like wondering if maybe John was like doing all these little cracks to motivate Amore to like want to do really well.
No,
I don't know. That's my theory.
I think he likes Raven. I think he has spurts where he tried to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. Because
he's tried to
it
like
was in
Raven.
It was in his best interest to get back to the ground.
Yeah.
Definitely in his best interest. I don't see him staying as a way of him trying to, escape death.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I feel as though he kind of would think she would be okay. I think he really just didn't want to leave her by herself.
Oh, interesting.
Nah, that's not John.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to think that.
Yeah.
You like to think that.
Yeah.
John...
What they say?
Didn't want to be. So they're focused on Xavier again is saying how much he enjoyed the episode. It was good. Sylvia's saying escape pod. There is none.
There is none. Spoiler alert, there is no escape pod.
And Derek Hogan and I are both on the same page. Can you imagine an army of 300 serial killers on the ground this season? That would be terrifying.
I think that we're going to see it. I really do. We'll save that to predictions, but I can imagine that happening. So let's just touch a little bit on that ending, because I feel like things really heated up in the last like 5 minutes. So we have all of the people from the spaceship coming down to Earth, which is like the worst timing ever for Clark, because they're finally like, listen, she's the only one. Psych, there's like five more people here, and they're all gonna like be like, oh hey Clark, like they're not gonna pretend they don't know her because they don't know they should. So like that's gonna be pretty catastrophic, I think. But Maddie tells Bellamy about Clark and like mentions Octavia, which just blew my mind. What were you feeling during that scene?
Clark must have talked about him all the damn time. Been drawing little pictures of him. Cause she like looks Bellamy.
You know? From like, the distance. In the dark.
Yes,
the
dark. It was like that quick.
With everything.
Stalkering Clark, but I can't blame you. He is hot. That was like hilarious. And when he for a minute I honestly thought the bunker people had gotten out. I was like, Octavia, my red queen. Yeah. Oh, that's not Octavia. Who is that? So that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
It's a violent
movie. That's exactly what I thought too. And Maddie, when she has to, she can kill. Because she came out, boom, shoot, spear, everything. Like she took out at least, what, four people? Was it four or five people?
I think it was only her fingers.
Yeah, she had an Octavia move. Was it three?
I think it was only three. Yeah, there wasn't very many because it looked to me like she had a perimeter where she had people going, but they didn't really expect anyone to come out. But there's only certain spaces in the forest that would be open, and they just happened to be walking by. I don't think that was near where they were, so I don't know if they would have really noticed the ship coming down, because it looked like they were sort of inside some place with a roof, so they wouldn't have seen anything else happen to be outside. So they almost got away clean. If it wasn't for those pesky kids.
So Maddie and Bellamy drive on their little rover. Is that what they call it?
Rover.
Their Jeep Wrangler or whatever they have in this period of time.
The perfect post-apocalyptic vehicle.
The perfect.
With the bars, everything, you know.
It's great.
No windows, but just bars.
Off-roading. I mean, perfect.
Yeah.
So they drive. And Clark is getting shot collared very badly, which, was so cringy. I, could not watch that. It reminded me of, the beginning of season 2 where they had, those shock lashings. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so hard to watch. Anything with, electricity.
I liked it.
That was my favorite scene.
Yeah, that's what sold it for me.
No. Well, that's how they got the prisoners to work, torture.
I guess so. Yikes, they're still using those methods. On the earth with Clark, who they took her village over. Whatever, that's how it goes. That's how it goes in the show. So they're shot collaring Clark, and finally Bellamy gets out, is the hero, and is like, listen, you better stop or else 283 of your little frozen people up there are going to be goners. And the colonel's like, well, she must be pretty important to you. And he's like, she sure is. And that's pretty much the end of our episode. Awesome.
I don't know why I went to applaud, but
it was a good episode. Very exciting.
Bellamy was like, bye ship girlfriend.
Bye ship girlfriend.
You okay, girl?
You think that Bellark is gonna heat up this season?
Pissed. I don't know. I mean, kinda. Like, I've never really seen them together. Personally, I've never seen the chemistry, but now I'm kind of seeing the chemistry. Yeah. But I kind of liked him with his little ship girlfriend. So I'm
Echo.
Love triangle.
Why not both? Hey, guys, it's the end of the world. Enjoy yourself.
It's like, what, 4,000 and something? We have no idea what year it is, but it's
go for it.
It's progressive.
We need more.
And Clark likes women. Are we forgetting that?
Yeah.
You know?
So true. Hey,
they can have a couple.
We haven't seen any polyamorous couples yet.
Yeah, we haven't.
Yeah, we have.
We have?
Yeah, like, remember the little queens that they'd have? They were sleeping with everybody. And I guess they didn't really have a relationship. They were just having orgies, so.
Yeah. I don't know, guys.
If you have the same people.
Enjoy yourself.
So, guys.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself. So let's get into our special segment. Okay. Boss move of the week. Oh my gosh, I love that sound effect.
Oh, I thought it was longer. I had at least 2 seconds of shimmy
so
left.
Much like a boss. We didn't discuss this beforehand, so I'm curious to see what were your guys' boss moves of the week.
I always go for the one that's most shocking. Okay. So when Kodak came out and his big muscles and everything was going in and he was like the Hulk and he would not die.
Yeah.
And he was stabbed and hit and everything else. Boss move of the week.
It was a pretty boss
Absolutely.
Move.
No shirt. Why doesn't he have a shirt on?
Because
did he
bust
his shirt inside? What?
You don't
He's
need
a
it.
Giant, muscular, fat, muscular guy, you know, whatever. His fatness will keep him warm. My boss move was, oh gosh, I'm torn. Raven, as usual, sacrificing herself.
Yep.
Or my little crazy Minami just coming out. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Bellamy. She didn't even like say, Clark told me who you are. You're her boyfriend.
Bellamy.
She didn't even acknowledge the other people. That was kind of rude.
She
was just like, you're the one that matters. You know, like everybody else was standing there and she
I guess you're
care.
Fine too.
You know, Clark didn't talk about none of them. She only talked about
Bellamy.
Bellamy's my boy. He's up in space. He's going to come down soon, and he's going to be your daddy.
Oh, my gosh. My boss move, I agree with you. I wrote down Raven staying behind, even though she knew there was no dropship. I loved it.
You went for the heart tugger.
Yeah, it was an emotional boss move of the week. Loved it. Okay, so let's drop the hottest news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Brace yourself, fans.
I'm bracing myself.
Are you braced?
I'm braced.
You're braced.
I'm brazen.
I'm ready.
Are you braced? There will be a season 6. Woo-hoo! Already announced. 2 episodes in and it's already announced season 6 will be underway after season 5, obviously. But yeah. Already
yes.
signed for season
Thank
5.
You, CW, for showing the 100 love.
Ah, so exciting. I am so glad because I'm definitely not ready to say goodbye to any of my loves on the show.
Well, you won't have to for at least another year.
Yes.
Season has been
yes.
off the chain. Bravo.
And I think it's about
writers.
To get even more off the chain. let's go into predictions. Just one sound effect
after
another.
And you're
after so
Buzz good. TV predictions.
Ooh. All right, let's start at this end of the table. What are your predictions for next episode?
So much. I'm going to go out and say it. Run to you. Woo! That's what Bellamy's going to do to Clark. He's going to run to his lady. Mm-hmm. And then his current girlfriend will be like, what? And then my other one is we're going to be going back to the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Octavia is going to be Queen Bee. And her circle of women advisors, because it looks like it's all women, mm-hmm. are just going to be in charge. I think they're really going to start looking to get out of the bunker. And I think in the next 2 episodes, they'll be amongst their people.
Awesome. So everyone's going to be reunited.
Reunited. And it'll feel so good.
I think there's going to be one more episode, though, before they unite. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be one more episode with them acting, catching back up into real time in the bunker. And then they're going to get all together. But in the bunker, I think the people will have lessened tremendously. And mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you guys saw the little teaser, but he says something about, we've been killing, you know, he's tired of killing, pretty much. He's just tired of death. So I'm interested to find out how many years left. 1,200 minus like 1,000. Like who's actually left with that method of if someone does you wrong, you just fight them
yeah.
for 5 years?
Yeah.
You stole my shirt. Come down here. You know, you get the spear out. You know
Sweet.
What I mean?
You stole my man. I'll kill you.
Yeah. So 5 years later, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just those 10 people, you know?
Honestly. The 100 again. That mm-hmm. would be so ironic if it was 100 people again.
There you go.
That'd be crazy. My prediction also has to do with the bunker. We kind of saw teases of Kane. And we were kind of wondering last week, like, why is he down in the little Coliseum thing? I think that it's probably a suicide mission, sort of. Because he's like, I'm tired of killing people for 5 years. This isn't right. I can't do it anymore. And I think if that happens, Abby is not going to let him go gently into the night. I think she's really going to try to stop him if that is what he's aiming for.
Yeah. Or Clark is going to get there just in the nick of time. Like, mm-hmm. no, don't kill yourself. And they're like, Clark, this is our new way. You know, give us free. You know what I mean? Like, that type of moment.
They do have that propeller gun thing. mm-hmm. which I think would be able to clear out a lot of the debris.
Very. Oh, that's so true. Oh, that's a really good theory. Good prediction.
She's on fire today.
Okay. Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this amazing show. Where can everyone find you guys on social media and other after shows you might do?
You can find me, Cherry_LA, on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on the 100 with you guys. I'm on Deception on Wednesdays. I'm on Terror. The Expanse on Sundays.
The Terror?
And The Terror on Wednesdays.
You're on so much. You're a busy girl.
There you go. And I love how there's a little bit The Terror.
The Terror.
In the microphones. Hey, guys. I'm Funny Sarai on Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, I'm just Sarai Comedian. And also, you can catch me on, what today is? Tuesday. Catch me on Thursdays, Archer at 7 p.m.
Awesome. And I'm Taylor Gates. You guys can find me on Twitter at @alphaba_Anne, on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. The Rise finale is next week at 9 p.m. on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, I host the SVU After Show at 8 p.m. So join me for that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure to like leave a comment. We want to know your thoughts and give us a thumbs up. And we're so excited to see you next week. So I'll see you guys later. Keep it 100.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.